Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Pat of the Cope Gallagher says it was the support of Fianna Fáil members that encouraged him to consider the running in the next general election. There's been a 20% drop in the number of dwellings completed in Donegal. There's concerns that people in the north will be left waiting for longer periods of time due to a lack of funding in cross-border healthcare. And the Dublin taxi driver Raymond Shorten has been handed a combined prison sentence of 30 years for abusing a girl over a decade ago and raping two women in 2022. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Kenny Harkin has all the latest in sport coming up at a quarter past five. And Chris Asmore brings all the farming news and views, and that will be on its way later this evening. To start off with news, Pat the Cope Gallagher says it was the support of Fianna Fáil members that encouraged him to consider running in the next general election. The former junior minister and MEP who lost his seat in the Dáil 2020 elections has confirmed that he's seeking party nominations to contest the upcoming elections. The former Las Cionn Comhairle says he wants to fill what he believes is a vacuum in representation of Donegal in the Dáil, and he says it wasn't an easy decision to put his name forward, but is hopeful a second Fianna Fáil Dáil seat can be secured in the county.
I didn't have the intention of running again. The party opened nominations for convention some few weeks ago. I didn't seek a nomination, but when the nominations closed, I got a call to say I got a substantial number of nominations, and it was only then I gave serious consideration to this. And it wasn't an easy decision. It would have been much, much easier for me to decide that I wasn't going, but I looked at the overall county. We only have one TD. I would be anxious to secure the second seat for the party. My experience over the years will be beneficial to me. If I get through convention, of course, I respect the Dáil Cantar's delegates and whatever they decide. And if they decide to select me, I will be very happy to be part of the team and to try and secure the seat.
Are you confident that that experience then, if selected, would get you over the line in the election?
Well, of course, I lost the seat the last time by some hundreds of votes. The last time could have been my own fault. I don't know. I didn't analyse it fully, but it was said at the time that Pat the Cope was safe. It was a winter's day in the middle of the winter, and a lot of the elderly didn't vote because Pat the Cope was safe. Nobody is ever safe. This time I will be saying Pat the Cope is not safe, and that I will require not every first preference, but indeed preferences. Over the years, I had to depend on votes, not just from Fianna Fáil, but indeed from other parties and those of no political persuasion. And I would hope that those people would place their confidence again in me this time.
There's been a 20% drop in the number of new dwellings completed in Donegal. According to the CSO, in the second quarter of this year, 135 builds were completed, down from 169 during the same period in 2023. The Lifford Stranorter local electoral area recorded the completion of 27 new buildings. That's the highest of all the LEAs in the county, while North Inishowen recorded the lowest, with just 8 new dwellings completed there. There are concerns that people in the north will be left waiting for longer periods of time due to a lack of funding for cross-border healthcare. SDLP opposition health spokesperson Colin McGrath has hit out at the major funding shortfall and as a result has written to the finance minister in Northern Ireland to consider bridging the £293 million gap. MLA McGrath says while he appreciates it's an expensive programme, it reduces pressure on the health services there. More importantly, he says it means people are not left in pain for longer than necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have some of the longest waiting times in Europe, and patients are subjected to excessive waits. And one of the ways that has been really positive over the last number of years to be able to deal with those waiting lists has been to utilise the cross-border health initiative, whereby patients from the north could utilise services in the south and then claim the money back. And we know that many, many constituents right across the north have used those services. But unfortunately, it does require an input from the Department of Health in terms of finance. That is now not available because the Sinn Féin DUP Executive Finance Department won't release any funding to help with that, and people will regrettably have to wait longer.
And now you've written to the Finance Minister. Are you hopeful that this way push things along?
Well, I hope so. As I say, I think it is relatively common sense in terms of its approach. If we can free up those funds, utilise the services in the South, it means that people get seen quicker. They get relief to their pain much sooner. It also means that there's less people then left on the waiting lists in the North, which means that people get seen quicker there. This really is a win-win for everybody, but it does require investment. There has been substantial underinvestment in our health service in the last 15 to 20 years, and it's time that somebody stood up and did something for the patients that are suffering.
Dublin taxi driver Raymond Shorten has been handed a combined prison sentence of 30 years for abusing a girl over a decade ago and raping two women in 2022. The 50-year-old of Melrose Crescent in Clondalkin has shown no remorse for any of his offending and refuses to accept the verdicts of the two juries. Frank Rearney has this report, which some listeners may find distressing.
On Monday, Raymond Shorten was jailed for 13 years for the rape and sexual assault of a 7-year-old girl. And today he received an additional 17 years for raping two female passengers in the back of his taxi on separate dates in 2022. His previous conviction for child abuse was considered a significant aggravating factor. Mr Justice Paul McDermott said the fact he went on to rape twice again as a much older man had to be reflected in the sentence handed down today. He said he knew exactly what he was doing and effectively preyed on the two girls who were drunk and vulnerable when they got into his taxi. Aside from the physical and mental harm inflicted, he said what he did to them was humiliating and demeaning and an absolute breach of trust on his behalf. Frank Rainey, the Central Criminal Court.
The family of John Hume has cut ties with the new Peacemakers Museum in Derry. It's been revealed that in April 2020, 4 months before the Nobel Peace Prize winner passed away from Alzheimer's, there was communication between John's wife, Pat Hume, and the Gas Yard Trust, outlining why the family is distancing itself from the project. With more details, here's Donal Kavanagh.
In the email, Pat Hume said if John were well, he would call for more diversity, as at that time, the museum was focusing on three politicians, two of whom shared the same view. They were Martin McGuinness, the then Sinn Féin chair, Mitchell McLaughlin, and John Hume himself. In the correspondence, Pat Hume outlined that in the absence of this fundamental commitment to inclusivity, John would not want to be involved. She also requested that given the difficult times the family were in at the time, in the wake of John's illness, no further contact be made unless the appropriate changes were made. The family say further emails and text messages were received, but these did not include a revised concept. The Peacemakers Museum has been contacted for comment.
The government is set to decline a European Commission request to nominate a woman for the role of EU Commissioner. Commission President Ursula von der Leyen wrote to Member States today asking for two names to be submitted for her consideration. Ireland has already nominated former Finance Minister Michael McGrath, and Taoiseach Micheál Martin says that won't be changing.
First of all, we'll respond to that, and I haven't seen the letter yet, and we certainly weren't notified yesterday of any correspondence, but I think on the last occasion there would have been one, sorry, when I understand now, hope the correction, when Phil Hogan was appointed, there may have been one name sent, but we will respond in due course to that. The jurisdiction is within the government's realm in terms of the appointment of commissioners.
Ishka Aaron is calling on customers in Letterkenny to conserve water as they experience high levels of demand. Reservoir levels have been affected as a result, leaving a number of homes and businesses with low pressure and water outages. The utility is asking that over the coming days, people use water mindfully in a bid to see the reservoirs fully replenished. Donegal County Council has confirmed its public consultation on new bylaws governing speed limits in the county will begin on this day week. It's proposed to reduce the limits on some roads in the county from 80 to 60 kilometres an hour. With more, here's Michaela Clark.
The start of the consultation on Thursday, August the 1st, coincides with the implementation of the Road Traffic Act 2024 and the phased lowering of default speed limits in Ireland. This first phase is considering the reduction of limits on rural local roads to 60 kilometres unless specified otherwise in the bylaw amendment. The council says the proposed changes are intended to implement more appropriate speed limits on rural local roads, as well as certain national road locations and public roads within nominated housing estates. updates. Next year, we'll see a consultation on proposed reductions in urban and national road speed limits. Over the course of the following 30 days, the draft bylaws and supporting documentation will be on display at County House in Lifford, the public services centres in Carndonagh, Donegal Town, Dunloe, Letterkenny and Milford, and the Base Enterprise Centre in Stranorlar. The documentation can also be viewed online. Submissions can be made online or in writing with links on our website, highlandradio.com.
There's a dearth of services for young people in care who are at risk of suicide, according to a new report. Last year, 4 of the 29 children who died while in care or while known to TUSLA services took their own life. The National Review Panel's report for 2023 found in one case, a vulnerable girl who died by suicide was left without access to CAMHS for 6 months after multiple care placements. CEO of the panel, Helen Buckley, says there needs to be improved cooperation between CAMHS and TUSLA.
Neither agency really takes responsibility, and there's a really significant need for a therapeutic service to be set up by either the Department of Health, the HSE, TUSLA, or some body or agency with responsibility for young people.
A scrambler has been seized in the Tullyallie area of Derry following a report yesterday afternoon. It was being driven in the Stevenson Park and Churchbray areas. The Waterside and neighbourhood officers responded and found the bike to be uninsured, and it was subsequently lifted. The time is now coming up to 12 minutes past five here on Highland Radio. We're going to go for a short break, and Kenny Harkin will be back with all the latest in sport. It's just coming up to 5:15 here on Highland Radio. Kenny Harkin has all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Donna Marie. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and Shelburne and St Pat's are both in first leg action this evening in the second qualifying round of the Conference League. Shells have made the trip to Switzerland to play Zurich. That game starts shortly at 6 o'clock. Shelburne captain Mark Coyle says his team are really looking forward to the challenge of this evening's game.
Myself and the lads are all buzzing for it. When you look around here and you look at the infrastructure, you look at the setup they have here, this is what a European game should feel like. And we know we're up against a tough side, but it's something that's a challenge we're really looking forward to and testing ourselves against them.
St Pat's, they welcome Liechtenstein Cup winners Vaduz to Richmond Park. That kick-off time is 7:45. In Olympics today, Ireland have been beaten by New Zealand 14 points to 12 in their final Pool A match in the men's rugby sevens. That defeat means they finish second in the pool and will play Tokyo gold medalist Fiji in tonight's quarterfinals. New Zealand topped the group and they'll play South Africa in the last eight. Elsewhere, Ireland's men's hockey side have received a boost 2 days ahead of their opening fixture in Paris. Coach Mark Tumilty has signed a new 4-year contract, taking them up to Los Angeles Games of 2028. Ireland face Belgium on Saturday morning. And former Wimbledon champion Angelique Kerber will retire from tennis after the summer's Paris Olympics. She won silver for Germany at the 2016 Games in Rio. Kerber claims three Grand Slam titles in her career, triumphing at the Australian Open, US Open, as well as the All England Club. In other news, legendary cycling pair Katie George-Dunleavy and Eva McChrystal are among the 12 athletes added to Team Ireland's squad for the Paris 2024 Paralympic Games. The dozen confirmed today brings the team number to 24, with the remaining members to be announced next week. Growing from the success of the Tokyo Games, the 2024 cycling contingent consists of 10 athletes, including 4 pilots. As well as McChrystal, there is 3 other pilots heading for Paris, including Donegal's Mitchell McLaughlin. In golf, Ballaba Fenster Norler golfer Ryan Griffin is currently the leader of the prestigious Pierce Motors Volkswagen South of Ireland Amateur Championships at Lahinch. After a 66 yesterday, he carried a 71 this morning at the Lynx course in Clare, and he's the clubhouse leader. In windy conditions today, Griffin is currently 3 ahead. Athenry's Cahill Penny is 4 under par. He's just played 4 holes of a second round. He's currently in second spot. Elsewhere, Padraig Harrington and Peter Laurie are both 3 shots off the lead after their opening rounds at the Senior Open. Both shot 1 under par rounds of 71 at Carnoustie. Canadian Stephen Ames leads out on the course on 4 under par. Darren Clark is 2 over after 74. Paul McGinley, he shot 8 over par 80. Cameron Clark is currently at 2 over. And on the PGA Tour this week, Seamus Power is 1 over par with 7 holes remaining of his first round at the 3M 3M Open. Patrick Rogers is a solo leader on 5 under par. In women's golf, a CPKC Women's Open in Calgary on the LPGA Tour this week. Leona Maguire, she's level par after 5. Stephanie Meadow tees off later on this evening. Andrea Lee is on 2 under par. She's tied for the lead with 7 other players. In cricket, Ireland won the toss and elected to put Zimbabwe into bat in their historic test at Stormont. A short time ago, the tourists were 193 for 5. Barry McCarthy has taken a pair of wickets for Ireland, with one each for Craig Young, Curtis Camphor and Andy McBrain. In horse racing, tributes have been flooding in for jump racing star Istabrak, who has died at the age of 32. Trained by Aidan O'Brien, Istabrak won 3 consecutive champion hurdles at Cheltenham. That followed a novice hurdle win there in 1997. Together with his jockey Charlie Swan, they won 14 Grade 1s. Finally for this evening, on this evening's Score, Galway and Armagh, they contest this year's All-Ireland Football Final on Sunday. We'll talk to Michael McMullen of Gaelic Life to give us his thoughts on how it'll go. We'll also speak to Mark English as he's been preparing for his third Olympic Games. And we'll chat with former Finn Harps player Declan Boyle for our weekly League of Ireland chat. That's the Score after 7 o'clock news, presented this week by Mark Gallagher. That's your sport. It's back to Donna Marie.
Thanks, Kenny. Looking now to weather, shower will become isolated tonight and mainly confined to parts of the west. Otherwise, it will be dry with long clear spells. Cooler than previous nights with lowest temperatures of 9 to 12 degrees. To conclude this evening's news, Pat the Cope Gallagher says it was the support of Fianna Fáil members that encouraged him to consider running in the next general election. The former junior minister and MEP, who lost his Dáil seat in the 2020 election, has confirmed he's seeking party nomination to contest the upcomings. There's been a 20% drop in the number of new dwellings completed in Donegal. According to CSO, in the second quarter of this year, 135 builds were completed, down from 169 during the same time period in 2023. There are concerns that people in the north will be left waiting for longer periods of time due to a lack of funding for cross-border healthcare. SDLP opposition healthcare spokesperson Colin McGrath has hit out that the major funding shortfall has seen a result written to the finance minister and to Northern Ireland to consider bridging the £293 million gap. That's all for now. We'll be back with more headlines at 6 o'clock. Chris Asmore has all the latest farming news and views up after the obituary notices.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 25th of July. The death has taken place of Noel McCauley, 1 St Anne's Terrace, Sligo, formerly of Glencrush, Lifford. Removal from his former home at Glencrush, Lifford, tomorrow evening at 6, going to Clonlea Church of Ireland, Lifford, for reception prayers, reposing overnight. Funeral service there on Saturday afternoon at 2:30, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Clonlea Church, care of Doris or Terence McClintock, funeral director. The house is strictly private, please. The death has taken place of Patrick P.J. McCloskey, late of 80, Ballyhannaden Road, Coole, Cloddy, County Derry. His remains are reposing at his late home. Funeral on Saturday, leaving his home at 12:15 for 1 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Cloddy. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to WHSCT Haematology Fund, care of McLaughlin Funeral Directors, Dungiven. And the death has occurred of Cathal Madlin, butcher, Thompson Duff, Clohan. Cathal's remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon for 2 o'clock Mass in the Church of Perpetual Succour, Glenfinn, with burial in Kiltievogue Cemetery. Rosary tonight at 8. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv. The house is strictly private, please, to family before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice, care of Marley Funeral Directors, or any family member. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore.
Well, mounting red tape could blow a €3 billion hole in the rural economy. That's one of the findings of the KPMG report for the Irish Farmers Journal. To delve into this a little bit more, I've been speaking with Phelan O'Neill, Market Intelligence and EU Specialist with the paper.
Yes, Chris, it is a pretty bleak picture, all right. I suppose, basically, Irish farmers have had to deal with three major policy changes over recent years. Between them, they sort of affect sort of a once-in-a-generation change in Irish agriculture. We've had a new system for common agriculture policy payments that came into place last year. We've had the setting in legislation of a 25% reduction requirement on emissions by 2030. And we now also have the possibility of losing the nitrous irrigation that we have enjoyed since we were part of the European community. So between those all, the reality is they're going to seriously affect the output available from Irish agriculture, from Irish farms. And if we reduce the output from farms, we reduce the requirement of processing capacity. And we asked KPMG to take a look at what this would all mean. And what they found is that it would have a €3 billion cost annually to the rural economy. And up to 29,000 jobs would also be at risk. So it is pretty dramatic.
Now, of course, it may not pan out as exactly as some projections will say, but nevertheless, there are big issues there. And also, the report has shown that when it comes to cap payments, there has been somewhat of a redistribution of payments, which we did expect with Connacht and Ulster faring a little bit better.
Absolutely, there is. And this is actually one area where Donegal has benefited to a considerable extent. And that's because it has moved from the areas of more intensive agriculture output and production to the more extensively farmed and more marginal farmland areas. And when you think of it, whilst there's some of the very highly productive parts of County Donegal, there's large areas of grazing that would be that suited best, if you like, extensive grazing to sheep and to cattle in that respect. It doesn't have the same numbers. The land doesn't carry the same numbers. The effect of this is, whilst it'll be a benefit to farmers by and large in the West, farmers that were more densely stocked in the east and southeast of the country, they would lose payments. And that kind of moves their business from being marginal and viable, perhaps, into not being so viable, and they will be keeping less stock as a result. So whilst it is a win, you know, I suppose, and that is the thing that we would have found frustrating about the common agriculture policy, it's great for the winners. But it comes, unfortunately, at the expense of other farmers in other parts of the country. So it does create a winners and losers picture.
Now, if we turn to the nitrate derogation and the ongoing controversy there, where are we now at the moment and what's likely to happen?
Well, the reality is that in the next year, nothing will happen. We have a derogation in place right up until the end of next year. And when that expires, we can apply to renew it. Now, the Minister, Charlie McConnell, at an event of ours this week, emphasised that the government will be pursuing this with all the might that it can muster, and it could well be renewed at the end of this year. But if it's not, KPMG have found that that in itself would cause a loss of 8% of output from the Irish dairy sector. If we were to lose the nitrous derogation, it would impact over half, 9,500 Irish dairy farms, and also a relatively small number of beef finishers, but those beef finishers would account for a quarter of all the cattle going to Irish factory. So there is a serious potential knock-on effect there as well.
And this all comes in a week that we've seen figures from Chagas in relation to farm incomes, and again there some cause for concern.
Well, I think all farmers would have known that 2023 wasn't a good year, that we had a bit of respite, if you like, in 2022 when market prices moved on to accommodate the high input prices. But that hasn't been the case in the last year, and we've certainly been, we have taken a considerable hit.
And there would be concern also, Phelan, with regard to the prices that the beef factories in particular are paying at the moment, because the demand for Irish beef, particularly from the UK, is very much on the up, but that's not been reflected in the prices.
No, and Irish prices continue to lag behind UK prices. We're told that basically UK customers are prepared to pay more for UK beef than they are for Irish beef. So that's what we're led to believe. And you know, whilst we've had reasonably robust prices over the spring, they have been coming under some pressure lately. And the reality is, and those Chagas figures bear it out, beef and sheep farms simply cannot afford to be taking less than they're getting at present for beef or sheep or lambs.
And finally, just in terms of export markets, you know, we've heard quite a lot over the last year or two about China and the United States and indeed also in Europe. Are there grounds for being hopeful?
Look, it'll always be a small part of the portfolio by the look of it. You know, the reality is that no matter how many markets we've opened, almost half of the beef that we export goes to Britain. About 40% of the rest goes to mainland Europe. And that leaves about 10% to go into wider global markets. So look, they're worth having. They may be useful at some point. But at the end of the day, the price of Irish beef is very much made in England. And as for sheep meat, it's what is France's our main outlet there. UK would be one of our less, well, it's our second or third most important market, but we have a good spread of European markets for sheep meat. And they have served us well over the course of this spring. It's been under pressure lately, but, you know, the reality of life is the faraway markets of Asia and North America, you know, whilst they do deliver for our dairy sector, they deliver a very marginal element for our beef and sheep meats, and nothing at all yet for our sheep meat sector.
And that was Phelim O'Neill, Market Intelligence and EU Specialist with the Irish Farmers Journal. And in other news, there was a great turnout on the farm of Gareth and Dawn Porter in Castle Finn for the Donegal IFA social evening last Friday. The event also served as a fundraiser for Donegal Hospice, and a total of €6,700 was raised, with prizes donated by local businesses being raffled off on the night. And just to give you some advance notice of a couple of big shows coming up, the 2024 Glencolumbkill Agricultural Show is on Sunday, the 4th of August. And tickets still available for the Grand Draw Raffle, which has a first prize of a heifer. Meanwhile, the annual charity sheepdog trial in Glencolumbkill takes place on Monday, August the 5th. That's the bank holiday Monday. And that'll be at the Agricultural Show Field, with all money raised on the day going to support the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland. And the start time for the Farmers Run is 10 o'clock, with the intermediate and open start at 11 o'clock. And a reminder, also on Bank Holiday Monday, August the 5th, the always popular Mena Cross Agricultural Show outside Dunloe is on then. Well, there's been a broad welcome from farming organisations for the reopening of the farm safety measure, which will provide a financial contribution to farmers for a maximum of 4 PTO shaft covers. The grant aid will be at a rate of 60%, subject to a maximum eligible cost of €100 per PTO shaft cover. And farmers who applied for grant aid under the 2023 scheme are also eligible for this measure, which is open until the 1st of November. Meanwhile, IFA Hill Farm Chair Colin Connealy has called on Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue and his officials to quickly intervene and prioritise supports to alleviate the financial pressure on hill and sheep farmers in the forthcoming budget. He pointed out that the sheep farmers' incomes are back 22% this year. And the Central Applications Office has recently released data about the most popular courses for students applying to go to college this year, and the news is not good for the agriculture sector. The figures reveal a significant fall of 19% in first preferences for Level 8 degree courses related to agriculture. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.